Hey there, travelers. My name's Kai, and welcome to Misery Likes Company. And it is raining in Las Vegas. Oh, you have to understand, we do not get that much rain. It's an event. It's a thing when we get rain. It's refreshing. It's renewing. And I mean, if you feel that way about rain wherever you may reside, you have to comprehend then how intense of an experience it is for us here. When you get rain 4 to 8 times a year, I mean, sure, it may occasionally sprinkle, but rain, like actual rain, and we're slated to maybe have it for a few hours, because desert rain usually lasts very brief periods of time. I mean, minutes sometimes. It's like that. Like rain, it just comes and goes. And for us to have any significant amount of rain for any significant amount of time is, it's overwhelming. You know, you can hear it in my voice. I'm excited. I got the chance to take out, I have a Highlander all-wheel drive. And previously, I've always had cars. I've always had two-wheel drive, front, rear-wheel cars. And this is the first time that I had anything four-wheel, all-wheel drive, and bigger when it was wet. I haven't taken the vehicle out in any sort of precipitation. It hasn't gone anywhere yet. And so I've been looking forward to the first rains of the year, and we missed monsoon season. Like monsoon season, we have monsoon season in the desert here, and it just was dry this year. Hello, climate change. And so, you know, I missed monsoon season, and it's raining. And so I took the Highlander out and threw it around some corners to see how it would handle, and, you know, slammed on the brakes and the back streets and stuff like that, and handled well. No complaints. It did what it's supposed to do. Very sticky, very, you know, took it up to like speed to, you know, matching road speed from a stop, from a turn, you know, turn from a stop sign onto a main road up to speed sort of thing. And, you know, didn't lose traction. It was a new experience for me. And so, you know, it's fucking raining. Oh, it's so refreshing to have rain in the desert. And oddly enough, if you've never smelled the desert when it rains, it is a different smell. Trust me, I'm from back east. I'm from New England originally. I understand rain has a smell. I understand ozone has a smell. But desert has its own scent. And a lot of people find it unpleasant, especially at first. It's generally described as stink. It is somewhat unpleasant sometimes. You know, I'm giggly even. It's a thing for us to have rain out here. And it's not a flash flood sort of rain. It's not coming down heavy. It's a steady drizzle. And it is said that maybe it will last through the night. So we could actually have wet ground. If you're not familiar, desert, that's the reason for the flash flood. Is the desert, the top layer of soil in the desert tends to be so dried out that it doesn't absorb water readily. And so when it rains in the desert, it rains heavily. And so when it rains on that ground heavily, the water just slides on top of it. And that's what generally creates the flash flood situations for us. And I mean, it gets bad here. We have, you know, public announcements and that sort of thing that like, don't drive through it, you morons. It will sweep your car away. And the Las Vegas Valley is on a slope, the north to south slopes downward. So on the south side of town, it can get sketchy when it rains heavily, but it's a nice, slow, steady rain tonight, and hopefully it'll hold out, and yeah, it's good for things. We could use the water. I don't know if this is going to make its way over to California or not. I haven't been paying that much attention to the weather report, but I hope it does. They certainly could use some extra water over there. I mean, God knows, those wildfires. And if we could ship any of it towards Australia, God bless. Climate change a bitch. I don't know what to say more about that. But into the small world, I like to talk about myself. And, you know, I mentioned yesterday my podiatry appointment and how painful yesterday's sclerosing injection was. There is a half dollar sized area of just redness and irritation from the injection today. And it is sore. It is sore as fuck today. So I've been a little limpy, but you know, I managed to run out to the store, get some things, and you know, my neuropathy is not too bad today. It could be worse. I will take not too bad, because I have had a lot of bad days. And so to have not too bad on a rainy day in Las Vegas, I'm counting it as a win, folks. I'm counting it as a win. After I'm done here, I'm going to smoke a fat bowl, which I haven't done in a while because, as one of my old-time friends says, you know, cannabis is the great enhancer. So if you're in pain or you're miserable, it can enhance that too. And so that is very much true for my neuropathy. It does not soothe it. It just makes you focus on it and feel it more. So if I can get a moment where there isn't much, yeah, I like to get high. But with that said, moving back to the big world, there were some headlines for today. This, you know, I think I'm going to burn through this episode fairly quickly. I say that and I've ended up at 55 minutes before, so making no predictions. But there are a couple headlines that I wanted to skim across. So give me a second. I want to take a drink here. Agua. Water good. I distill my own water, by the way. I have a pressure distiller and I remineralize it. So, you know, our water here is bad. It isn't great. It's safe. It's safe. But it has a lot of shit in it. When I do the clean outs of the distillation chamber, oof, man, it's nasty. There were some headlines today that just caught my eye that were just filed solidly under the category of what the fuck. Our commander-in-chief, the commander-in-chief of the Armed Services of America, okay, our actual president took to Twitter today to talk shit about a lieutenant colonel who was testifying against him. Now, I mean, I could get into specifics. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, and, you know, he was testifying at the impeachment hearings, blah, blah, blah. None of that matters. None of those details matter. The President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, criticized, made fun of, talked shit about a lieutenant colonel giving testimony before Congress. My brain is like stuck in gear. Like I can't even shift gears. It's so insane. He pointed out that he thought it was essentially theater that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman was in uniform. That he should have been in business attire. Keep in mind, if Cadet Bone Spurs actually knew a thing or two about the military, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman would have subjected himself to potential court-martial under Article 15 had he not been in uniform. He's required by our military code of conduct to be in uniform. He is active duty. He had to be in uniform. And Trump has given him shit for being in uniform. The dude who is in charge of the military is giving a military officer shit for being in uniform when the military code requires him to be in uniform. What fucking timeline are we on? Holy shit, let me off this ride. This is insane. Somebody just pimp slap this dude? Why on earth am I having to put up with this nonsense? This is the same guy that doesn't respect. I mean, he thinks war should be. Let's just say that our sitting president has different ideas about war than our actual military does. And so he likes to pardon war criminals. It's a big thing for him. He likes handing out those pardons to war criminals. A couple of the latest was a Army First Lieutenant Clint Lawrence. He was convicted in 2013 on two counts of murder for ordering his platoon to open fire on civilians riding a motorcycle in Afghanistan. Members of his platoon testified against him. They said the civilians in no way posed any danger and that this nut job had repeatedly targeted unarmed civilians. This crazy fucker got 20 years in Leavenworth, and our moron in chief pardoned him because he feels that that's how war should be waged. And one of the other ones I want to talk about was a former petty chief. Both all of these are former, basically, because the military kicks him the fuck out. Former chief petty officer Edward Gallagher. He was charged with killing a wounded Islamic State detainee who was being treated by a medic. Look, there are rules, and this is the sort of thing that our president does not understand. There are rules. As fucked up and sick and twisted as that is, there are rules to war, and once the enemy combatant is disengaged and unarmed and is, you know, no longer a threat, you can't kill him. That's not how that works. You don't, especially when they're being treated by a medic. He executed a prisoner with a knife. Either way, it could be a knife. He could have suffocated him. There's war gets iffy. Either way, he did kill an unarmed combatant after he was after treatment by one of our medics had been initiated. And then he posed for a picture with the corpse because, you know, yay. Trump, he received a demotion for this. Trump reversed the demotion, of course. This is a sort of chicken hawk, bone-spurred asshole that we have to put up with. All of these guys. This is standard policy for these sorts of people. You know, we've been putting up with these sorts of Rush Limbaugh, you know, fucking war is good, yay war, use the machine, military great. Meanwhile, hey, how about you serve? Fuck no. They're not stupid enough to serve. They're not poor enough to serve. They're not brown enough to serve. So, of course, they love using the military. They love espousing the merits of using our strong military. Meanwhile, they don't know what it means to serve. They don't understand, let alone, like, the moral, ethical side of it. They don't understand the brass tacks, as exemplified by today when our dumbass in chief started talking shit about an officer who is required to be in uniform. And talking shit about him being in uniform. He doesn't even know the rules, like the bare bones rules, let alone, okay, what it means to take a life, what it means to serve, what it means to defend one's brother in the trenches of war, that sort of thing. I get he'll never understand. But, I mean, a fucking rule book, like he doesn't get that. I mean, look, I mean, no one expects Trump to understand these sorts of things, right? But keep your fucking mouth shut. At this point, you know, I mean, what should we expect? Of course we shouldn't expect. Of course we should expect him to run his mouth off on something he doesn't understand. Of course we should. This is Donald fucking Trump we're talking about. But, I mean, you know, the majority of the country wants this guy out. The majority of the country wants him impeached. And despite what the nut job talking heads at Fox, and there was a great clip that made the rounds, you know, show notes, as always, themlcpodcast.com. There's a clip of, like, they tried to talk about it on one of the fucking Fox shows. I don't know which one. Just Fox News. Fox quote-unquote news. Like, four or five of them were just shouting at each other to the point where you can't really understand much of what's being said, except for one of these people keeps shouting, don't go there. Do not go there. It's, I don't know, Janine? Yeah, that one. The one who claims to be a judge or a former judge. Yeah, her. They brought up the fact, somebody brought up the fact that the majority of the country, it was an ABC poll that does over the weekend said that 70% of Americans think that what President Trump did wrong, and a slight majority, it was like 51%, said not only impeach him, remove him. like flat out. And they just one of them brought it up. And the other like four just starts shouting and yelling and laughing and screaming. And I mean, it's just a clusterfuck. The defenders of this moron are having mini meltdowns as they attempt to defend him even further. And I mean, it's not surprising. Social and fiscal conservatives, and I look, centrists, Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail has a section, like a paragraph on white moderates. That's essentially how I feel about centrists. They are the problem. Yeah. Look, the guys doing the thing are the problem. I get that. But the ones allowing it and the ones who are standing in the middle of the ones further over going, hey, could you not do that now? Be tolerant. Let's be civil. They're locking kids up in the cage by the hundred of thousand. Fuck civility. Fuck your civility. I'm sick of fucking centrists. And I mean, that goes for my buddy. Look at, I forget which episode it was. It was my first guest episode, just first guest. My buddy Mike, he is centrist-ish. And it drives me insane sometimes that it's just like, dude, both sides are not the same. Both sides are not equal in this. I understand that, look, there's plenty of blame to go around, and trust me, I'm not absolving anybody. But, it's as far as for me, it's sort of like a medical triage situation, and these fuckers are out of control. They're literally dismantling things, and it's the centrists who are allowing them to. So, I've had it up to here, and if you can't see, my hand's way over my fucking head. I'm done. I'm proud of being a radical leftist. Fuck yeah. This country's Overton window has shifted so far to the right that it's going to take some radical leftists to pull that thing even back to the center, let alone to the left where it needs to be, because let's face it, progressive, regressive. If you're not progressive, you're either static or regressive. That's not a place to be. I'd much rather be progressive. Let's improve shit. Let's move forward, And, in the vein of moving forward, and for all the wrong reasons. I am giving no credit here. But Chick-fil-A finally announced that they're going to stop donating to anti-LGBTQ charities and whatnot. they were donating charities that supported all sorts of horrible things for many years. And, we all know they caught a lot of flack for it, but it seems like the capitalist nature of the corporation finally kicked in and they, all right, bottom line, we can make more money. Screw it. So they announced like over the weekend or something that they're going to stop donating to the two charities they had left that had a history of anti-LGBTQ discrimination and shit. And the conservatives fucking melted down over it. That just, no! Like, who, fucking Huckabee, like, former Arkansas governor. Can we just stop? Like, why do we get to hang on to these titles forever? Whatever. Fucking douchebag Huckabee, fucking started running his mouth and, Santorum. Google Santorum, see what you find. Santorum and fucking Huckabee and a few of the other talking heads started losing their minds over it because, I don't know, because a company decided that they can make more money by not excluding or donating to charities that hate a portion of their potential customer base, that, hey, we could probably make an extra 8% if we just stopped being hateful assholes. If we drop a little bit of the bigotry, we can make, 5 to 8% extra. You shitting me? It's only inevitable that a corporation will eventually look at that bottom line and go, yeah, you know what? This isn't good for business. Fuck it. So, Chick-fil-A stopped. And but on the flip side of that, my absolute favorite story of the day, and I'm probably going to end on this one. I'm going to wrap on this story. This is my favorite story of the day because it is batshit insane. the Ohio, 20 of Ohio's Republican lawmakers, in coordination with a whole bunch of anti-abortion rights groups, has proposed, they already have, they have their proposed heartbeat bill, quote unquote, which essentially outlaws abortions as soon as a fetal heartbeat can be detected. That's about 6 weeks. That's generally when most people don't even know they're pregnant. And so they've now they want to add an addendum to this bill, which would require doctors to attempt to reimplant ectopic pregnancies. Now, if you're not familiar, an ectopic pregnancy is an inviable, non-viable pregnancy that essentially the egg, fertilized egg, gets lodged in the fallopian tube, and it is a health crisis for women. There's it can be quite an issue, and it can become deadly. So ectopic pregnancies cannot be reimplanted. This is literally impossible. It's not like a one in a billion shot, maybe occasion. No, it's literally, physiologically, technologically, medically impossible to reimplant an ectopic pregnancy. Top of my head. It's not, okay, so it's not, well, not only the fallopian tube. The ectopic technically is only, is a fertilized egg that attaches itself just outside the uterus. So, just wanted to make that clear. But they already, this bill already would charge doctors with aggravated murder and subject them to a potential life sentence or potentially a death penalty if they perform an abortion. Now, in addition to the insane punishment that they're looking to throw at doctors for performing exactly what they should be doing. Look, if you're not in favor of abortion, I don't give a shit about, hey, it's a life, it's a human life. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. The woman came first. The woman is what I value. The woman is important. It is her body. It is her life. She gets to make that decision, not you. Fuck off. This is a private property issue more than anything else for me. She owns her body, does she not? If she does, then fuck off. But of course, most of these people are psycho nut job religious whack jobs who believe that women should be, are nothing more than a brood mare for the state. So, of course, they believe this sort of thing. But they want to execute doctors for performing abortions, and they want doctors to perform completely impossible medical procedures. In addition to, this is what happens when you let social conservatives run amok in your society. This is what happens when you let the uneducated govern. These people should have to run any medical bill by the AMA, or at least a panel of doctors, or at least have to pass a basic anatomy test before they themselves are allowed to interact with such legislation. This is insane. It is literally insane. And now there is an argument to be made that this is a bad faith argument, that in fact, what they're attempting to do is just basically make abortions illegal. And this sort of thing allows for them to get another case before the Supreme Court, that, you know, that has since been stacked, that maybe they can get a judgment in their favor overturning Roe v. Wade. But I honestly don't think that this is some 5D chess sort of scenario. I really don't. I think this is literally right-wing nut jobs crafting legislation to control women and throwing clauses in there that are so poorly thought out, so based in ignorance, that not just ignorance, we live in the age of the internet, willful ignorance, based in willful ignorance, that essentially they are demanding impossible things. What do you do with that sort of thing? Honestly, if I were an Ohioan at this point, I'd be down there throwing batteries at these retards. Like, are you shitting me? What is wrong with you morons? Consult your own physician. And that's what leads people to believe that these sorts of things are done in bad faith, that this is, in fact, some sort of stratagem that they have crafted, not an actual attempt at a bill. But I don't have that much faith in people in America at this point, especially our conservative legislators. They're dumb. They are dumb. They are actually poorly educated despite any amount of education they've received. And I mean, Ben Carson is a prime example of that. You can be the world's best neurosurgeon, but you're still a fucking retard. Holy shit. If you're bothered by the fact that I use the R word, I encourage you to look into the euphemism treadmill. I'm going to continue using the word. You can be highly educated and be stupid. You can be highly educated on one topic and be poorly educated on everything else. Either way, Ohio legislators are attempting to craft a bill in which they demand the impossible happen. So if that's where we're going, fuck everything that any conservative ever says about anything. Essentially, when we say, hey, we want free college and free health and national health care, well, how are you going to pay for that? Doesn't matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter. You're putting demands in bills that are physiologically impossible. It can't happen. It literally cannot happen. And so we can at least find the money. We can make that happen. That's within the realm of possible. It's even feasible. But replanting an ectopic pregnancy is impossible. But you're going to legislate that? Okay, sure. So from now on, anytime you ever demand, how are you going to do that? No, that argument's out the window. You fuckers are demanding the impossible all the time. So from now on, even if it's improbable, we're going to demand it. From now on, I'm demanding 100%. That's my policy. From now on, I want 100%. I think that's the brilliance of the Republicans and the conservatives in this country is they demand 100%. That's it. They will settle for nothing less. And if they get 75%, it's a win. If they get 30%, it's a win. Hell, if they get 1%, it's a win. Anything over zero is a win. So you might as well demand the 100. So from now on, I'm just going to demand 100. I want free healthcare. I want free education. I want all student debt written off entirely. I want all medical debt written off entirely. I want downscale the military funding. In fact, I want to retask the military. I saw a great idea the other day. We need to just start tasking our military with things. We need to just tell them to do stuff because their organizational capability and their general technological capability is beyond most anything in this world. So, you know, we need to just tell the military your next task is to clean up the garbage in the ocean. Clean up. The example I saw was the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, but no, just your job is to clean up the ocean. From now on, that's we're assigning you that mission. That is an actual military mission. You are to clean the oceans. If they take it, they have no choice. They have no choice. If the commander-in-chief orders our armed forces to do something, that's it. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the line. So why not? Get a fucking president in there and start ordering the military to do stuff. Do stuff that is actually productive. Congratulations, United States military, your next task? Feed and clothe the world. What? We're going to feed and clothe the world. We're going to feed and clothe the world. Figure out how to do it. Figure out how to do it. You're the logistics organization. The United States military are the masters of logistics. Figure it out. That's your job now. You're gonna make sure. And I assure you, if our military became known for feeding and clothing the world over, truly taking care of the poorest of the poor, the ones who had starved to death, if the United States military was seen on the horizon and that's what they're known for, it's like, holy shit, they're here, we're saved. That would do more for ensuring the safety of this nation than our military building bombs and bunkers and bullets could ever do. So, yeah, we need to start using these. We need to start tasking these organizations correctly. And also, we need to start kicking the asses of these conservatives. Conservatives and centrists are the problem in our nation. They are. And on that note, I'm going to wrap it up. I hope you're as well as you can be, because I've had a pretty decent day. My name's Kai, and this has been Misery Likes Company.